Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
All right, welcome back to the final hour of the Bickley Murata Show. Before we get on to Sarah Cazell, a reminder that Jared Carlin has recorded a new song.
A new Disney NBA return song.
Yeah. And that should have everybody on the edge of their seat, shouldn't it?
I certainly am.
Are you?
Yeah. When does it play?
We're going to play it next segment, Sarah.
1:15. Stay
Let's
tuned
go.
For the latest song.
Speaking of which, here is Sarah Cazell with Social Studies.
Yes, guys. Social Studies is brought to you by Sonic America's Drive-In. Get the BBLT for only $3.99 plus tax. It is 6 strips of delicious crispy bacon with fresh lettuce and tomatoes on a toasted brioche bun, but only for a limited time now at Sonic. So we have yet another thing every single day to say, that sounds really good. We should bring that in.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that 6 strips of bacon. Hello. All right, let's start with our first question today. Earlier, you guys were talking about the return of the NBA, and if LeBron James adds another title to his resume, does it hold the same weight as every other title won, given the circumstances of this season? So the first question, which events or accomplishments in sports history deserve asterisks next to them?
My list was the 2017, the World Series winning Astros, maybe the World Series winning Red Sox, the 72 Soviet Union basketball team, the 2001 New England Patriots, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez, Rafael Palmeiro. Did I miss anybody?
You said potentially the winner of this baseball season's
and the
World
2020
Series.
World Series champion.
Because of the circumstances?
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
then,
Lance Armstrong.
Oh, and him.
Yeah.
Yuck.
For those at home, that was all top of Bickley's mind, by the way. He was not reading off of a screen or a piece of paper.
We did this as a topic earlier.
Well, impressed by me.
I mean, just the fact that you could recall all of that that quickly, I find that impressive.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Barry Bonds shows up a ton in our listener responses, probably the most. We do have the 1999 Spurs championship. Jeff Dreyer says should have just canceled that season. Another kind of circumstances situation. Lance Armstrong is mentioned here. Wants 7 titles stripped for him. Astros show up quite a bit as well. So do the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots, I think, was another one that we gave an asterisk to.
Yeah.
The Bill Belichick era, just because they've had so many indiscretions.
Yeah. And yeah, the one they've been caught many times. How many more have we not caught? Or have they not caught, rather? Yeah. Those are some good ones. Barry Bonds, definitely the leader in the clubhouse.
Somebody
for me.
Accused Jerry Rice of always using Stick'Em.
Oh.
So we should not count his stats.
Oh, that's a Larry Fitzgerald fan speaking, isn't it?
Here's a good one that we didn't bring up. Michael Strahan's sack record.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
Brett Favre
laid down for him. That deserves one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that doesn't really get talked about much when you do the asterisks.
It does. Yeah, it only...
At least not so much anymore.
Yeah, it only gets brought up when you're specifically trying to think of stuff like that, or when somebody gets close to the sack record.
Yeah, that is a good one, though. Moving on to our next question. Twitter was ablaze last night with photos of the food that NBA players were served on their first night in the Orlando bubble. So what is the worst dining experience that you have ever had, be it cooking for yourself or out at a restaurant?
Oh, where do you go with this?
Do you want me to start reading some responses?
I think the first time I tried Vegemite in Sydney, Australia.
What does Vegemite taste like?
Yeah, what does it?
Hot grossness.
I've always heard of it, but I never...
Is it like salty? I mean, it's a spread,
indescribable.
Right?
It's indescribable, the taste of that stuff. Jared, what about you? Chime in here.
I remember in college, I lived with 3 other guys, and we used to take turns making dinner sometimes. We would make dinner together sometimes. But once there's 2 separate times my same roommate made dinner and one time dessert. One time was he made a pumpkin pie, homemade, but he forgot to put sugar in it.
Oh, no.
So it was just pumpkin meat and it was disgusting, and we didn't know it, so the first big bite, it's a surprise. The second time, he also didn't tell us until we were starting to eat it, but he was making fettuccine Alfredo, and he went to sprinkle some garlic powder in it, and the top fell off.
No, no!
And half the garlic powder, one of those giant ones, fell into it, and he just mixed it up and thought that it was...
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know how, like, too much of that kind of garlic powder will be just bitter and harsh? So that was that. Those are the two first things that I'm trying to think of any restaurant. I mean, I once got thrown out of a restaurant and banned, and the chef came and tried to fight me.
What?
That wasn't to do with the food, though.
What did that have to do with?
Yeah.
So, this was in college. It was I think it was called Nico's. It was a taco place at U of A. And the waitress, I was sort of, you know, flirt. I was really not so smooth in those days. Not like I am now.
As opposed to now.
I was going
to
say, are you today? Right.
So I was flirting with the waitress a little bit. And I find out later that the waitress was the wife of the owner who was also the chef. Oh, so he was watching me do this the whole time. So he got mad. Then, when I was leaving, it's one of those things where they give you a plastic sort of basket with your food in it, and you're supposed to take the basket and put it on the thing and dump out the rest. And I accidentally dumped out all of it, including the basket. So he thought I was doing this on purpose to, like, mock him. So he runs out behind the thing, and he says, "Get the hell out of here. You're banned. Never come in here again."
Wow.
Okay. So that place winds up closing. Cut to, like, 2 years later.
All right.
We find out they open a new location somewhere else in Tucson. So me and my friends go. We sit down. We're looking at the menu. We're about to order. All of a sudden, from behind the thing, comes that same guy, the chef owner.
What?
And he goes, "I saw you walk in. I told you never come in here again. You were banned." And I was like, whoa. And he's like, starts to, like, put up his dukes. And the waitress comes over and, like, holds him back. And we, like, run out of the place.
2 years later, he remembered your face?
Yeah, can you believe that?
How heavy was your flirtation?
No,
How crazy were you getting?
I know I was very, not like I am now, but I used to crave attention. And I used to be very annoying. So I don't remember any.
Yeah.
I don't remember, you don't have to use the past tense, homie.
That's the old me. That's the old me, for sure.
In those days, I don't remember what I did, but I do remember, I'm sure that I was obnoxious and annoying and not exactly asking for it, but true story.
That's incredible. Uh-huh. I'll bring you Nico's next time I go to Tucson. Beautiful. I'll make sure you get some.
Thank you.
Wow. The responses are pretty much what you would expect. It's a lot of, like, found a cockroach in my food, found a fly in my drink, that kind of thing. Nothing terribly outrageous, but if you want to check out the responses, that is on the Twitter page, Bickley_Murata.
Yeah, there's some good stories, good responses here for sure.
Yeah.
We'll get in those last segment of the show.
Perfect. So moving on to our next question. Brooks Koepka, going to golf, because it's Bickley's show this week, so we're talking about golf. Brooks Koepka subtweeted Bryson DeChambeau yesterday, implying that DeChambeau might be using steroids.
At least that's how we interpreted it.
Yes. As his starts to rise on the PGA Tour. So of the following four options, we want to know which skill or show of strength is the most impressive in sports. The four for you to pick from: a 400-yard drive in golf.
Okay.
The tie-in, a 500-foot home run, a 70-yard pass in football.
All right.
In the air.
Yes, like the ball traveling in the air, 70 yards, not a yards after the catch kind of situation. And the final option, a 100-plus mile-per-hour slap shot in hockey, which is most impressive.
Okay, to me, they're all very prodigious shows of strength and power. To me, the obvious answer is the 500-foot home run. Because you have to hit a baseball that is coming at you. Golf ball, you're hitting a stationary ball. Football, it's already in your hands. To hit a 500 home run, you've got to barrel up a pitch that's coming at you between 90 and 100 miles an hour.
The closest counter would be the slap shot, because it's in the middle of action, in theory, where, you know...
Right.
Yeah.
A moving puck, moving skates, all that stuff.
Yeah. As Eric Cohen points out in the responses, the one that's done in ice skates. I feel that. But that one
would be second. I would put the slap shot second because you're right. Doing it on ice skates is difficult.
You know, hockey rarely gets love in our polls, but I am surprised to see that only 8% of our voters went with the slap shot. So right now it is 46% going for the 500-foot home run in baseball. A 28% say the 70-yard pass in the air in football. 19% went with the 400-yard drive in golf. And then again, only 8% for the slap
shot. It could be because, and I had to look up what is considered a really hard slap shot. Mm-hmm. I had to look up what was like the record, which is like 108 miles an hour.
Okay.
So maybe they just can't conceptualize that 100 miles per hour is you know, what that really means.
Exceptional as there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we've got one last question. Do we want to address it now?
Yeah, it's a quick yes or
it
no.
It is a quick. Okay, why were you talking about this again?
What are we
wearing cologne? It's because we were talking about going to the laundry and wearing shirts once.
Jarrett was saying that he's down with wearing the same shirt twice.
As long as you're not like sweating in it. It's just you just wear it normally.
Okay.
I disagreed with that. There's just a bad mojo that comes if wearing the same shirt twice in the span of a week or whatever. And I said it's kind of hard if you cologne up or scent up,
right?
You might be spraying your chest area, maybe your neck a little bit.
But to clarify, I don't wear it. Obviously, I don't wear it twice in the same week. I go.
You could have worn it when you were trying to flirt with the cook's wife.
That's right. Well, I literally go months without wearing the same shirt again because I have so many.
A robust closet.
Because you have so many.
I really do.
Well, the question is, do you wear cologne or perfume? The three options: yes, every day; yes, for special occasions; or no.
I'll wear it every day if I have it, but I haven't had it for months.
Okay.
So I don't know how to answer that.
Normal situation, you would say yes every day.
Yes, I would say every day.
I would say special occasions.
Okay.
How about you?
And I say no.
Never. You never wear perfume.
I don't because my hairspray has a scent to it, and I don't need anything clashing. It's too much.
Got it.
So we have 42% who say yes, I wear cologne or perfume on special occasions. 36% say no, I don't wear it at all. And 22% say yes every single day.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Great job as
good
always, Sarah.
Audience.
Thank you very much.
Guys.
We don't need you to play a game show later.
Okay, fine.
We're good to go. Thank you, Sarah.
Tomorrow maybe, though.
There you go. Okay.
Mock my world.
Yeah, we do. We're going to need you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, Sarah Cazell, that is Social Studies as promised. Coming up on the other side, it drops the next Jarrett Carlin Disney song. Coming your way. We're back right
here. King Louie coming up.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta.
Welcome back, everybody. Dan Bickley, Jarrett Carlin, two of us flying together. Vinny back next week as we roll through July. We've got the Phoenix Suns practicing again tomorrow night. Which means the moment is almost here, Carlin.
Which means it's becoming a reality.
It's becoming
a reality.
It's actually
happening.
It's actually happening. So I'm kind of stoked about that. Not stoked about what's happening in college sports. Stanford, if you haven't heard, dropping 11 of 36 varsity programs. And
this is one of the great sports athletic programs in the country,
Stanford.
It's
one of the most wealthiest universities in America as well. They own tons of property in an area where the property is worth a fortune, and they have an endowment that's reportedly between $27 and $28 billion. So if they're cutting 11 of 36 varsity sports, the other shoes are about to drop, and it's not going to be pretty. I wonder how long ASU can hang on. I know that these niche sports, if you want to call them that, they're very near and dear to Michael Crow. So that's going to be a hard give up for him and for ASU, and it's an awful thing. It really is. On top of that, the Ivy League has voted to eliminate all fall programs, sports, etc. So I don't know what
the conference will not entertain any sports being played until after January 1st.
Okay. So then the question becomes, is that going to be an example that is going to be followed? Everybody that has been quoted on this says, we don't follow the lead of the Ivy League. The Ivy League, though, was also one of the first to pull basketball, to unplug basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
absolutely.
That?
And I remember even thinking, boy, if this, literal smartest people in the country are doing this. Maybe we should follow suit.
Maybe we should pay attention to this. Now, and once again, the politics of it all, the money of it all, it's different in the Ivy League. They don't rely on their football teams to make college football playoff appearances and all that kind of stuff. So it's different. It's completely different. But to the idea, though, that this is happening, that's fairly ominous, that this is not going to happen in the Ivy League till after January. And you wonder if college football is going to be proactive and smart and kind of commit to a spring season. But who's going to make that decision? How do they make that decision? Is there any are these schools just making decisions independently? Are conferences doing it independently? It's like the Wild West in college athletics right now. And and that kind of makes it kind of dangerous, if you ask me.
For sure.
All right.
I don't know how they solve it.
No, I don't either. All right, so, but we're going to table that right now because we're going to have a little bit of fun. Jared Carlin, how many Disney tunes have we done till date?
This is number five, okay. I believe. Number six, I think. I did two from Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
I did one from Lion King. I did one from Beauty and the Beast and one from Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's five, and this is number six.
Okay, this is number six.
This is from the...
Now, is Aaron Maloney singing on this one?
This is just me. This is just me doing my best Louis Prima. This is from The Jungle Book.
All right.
You may recognize it, and it's about our friend Kelly Oubre. So,
all right.
Another Disney song, our latest
one.
Here
it goes. Let's do it, Jarrett.
Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing. And so my expectations for him are the same as every other player. Come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play. And hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
Now, I'm a big fan of Phoenix, though. There's something bothering me. To reach the top of this here crop, we need some help at Disney. We need the heart of the club, the favorite of the fans. We thought that he couldn't play, but now there might be a chance. What will Oubre do? Will he join the crew? Will he re-debut or will it fall through? What's true? He is the glue to this Suns team. Come on, Kelly, we sure miss you. Now don't get my hopes up, James Jones. I put my trust in you. And when I learned he could return, oh, my excitement grew. Yeah, we got Booker and Aiden, but that is only two. We need one more guy to score and play some defense too. What will Oubre do? Will he join the crew? Will he re-debut or will it fall through? What's true? He is the glue to this Suns team. Come on, Kelly, we sure miss you.
And that is Jared Carlin's latest. From The Jungle Book, right?
From The Jungle Book, that's King Louie. I want to be like you.
Okay. I'm not all that familiar.
Really?
Yeah. When I was listening to the song, I'm like, I don't think I'm all that familiar with this song. Okay.
All right.
But I do like the sentiments involved. Good job, Jared.
It was King Louie, the dancing orangutan, played by Louis Prima.
Okay.
And it was about him wanting to learn the secrets of fire so he can be more like a man.
Right.
From Mowgli.
Right.
So he's saying, I want to be like you, and that was my version of it.
Okay.
See, this is what I feared by going back deeper into the Disney catalog, that perhaps they wouldn't be as familiar. But we'll see how it goes.
And that's right. And that actually turned out to be true, at least with me. So
Jared,
there you go.
I knew the song.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Sarah knew the song.
What'd you think of that one, Sarah?
You know, it wasn't my favorite, but I respect your commitment to the voice. I don't know how you describe what you did with your voice, but the way you manipulated it to make it sound more like the character, I respect it.
Okay,
like King Louie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sitting here kind of in the same boat because I've raved about your last two, and I'm thinking if I don't rave about this one, you're going to think I don't like it.
And it's not even that it was not good. You just have had some home runs
is what
I'm saying.
That's right.
You set the bar high.
Right. That was Luis Gonzalez against Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. I mean, we got some good response. Somebody said they're turning to another channel until the singing is done.
All right.
And I might delete the app later.
All right. Kelly Oubre, by the way, has tweeted again from the bubble.
Ooh.
Doesn't nothing about him playing. This one says, quote, making a Bubble Boys playlist so you all can hear what gang is rocking out at Disney World. Spotify and iTunes, stay tuned.
Shh. Hashtag shh.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you please tweet whether you're going to be playing basketball? How about that?
Yeah. How about a playlist of songs that are going to play when you're in the game playing?
Yeah. Like, yeah, right. Something like that. I would appreciate that. But you know what, Jarrett, like we said earlier, the fact that they're actually have a scheduled practice tomorrow night. 3-hour practice, is that right? I think I saw that. 6 to 9 they've got allocated, right?
That's, yeah.
That's a long practice. Those guys are going to be...
tired?
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
2 days in a row.
Video games take a lot out of you, man.
Of course. Well, I guess... once they practice, that's the next step into believing that it's actually
well,
real.
Well, that's exactly right. One step closer is what that is. All right, ESPN ranked the top 10 quarterbacks for 2020. Did Kyler Murray make the list? We'll tell you all about that next. You're listening to Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM. Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin. We're going to talk a little bit of football. Generally, I don't like to always give time and spend time disseminating other people's lists, getting worked up over omissions from somebody who isn't really that well-credentialed, putting together a list, right? Because I think it's just kind of like a dog chasing its tail. You're like, what are you doing? Why are you spending your time doing this? A little bit different here with ESPN and Jeremy Fowler ranking the list of top 10 quarterbacks for 2020. Carries a little more credibility, and I'm curious to see with all the love that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals have been receiving, whether or not he is going to crack the top 10. Okay, the number one quarterback in the NFL. No surprise there, right, Jarrett?
The number one quarterback was so obvious that the whole article was essentially titled, Who's After Patrick
Mahomes? Who is after Patrick Mahomes? The newly $503 million guy who just signed a 10-year contract extension with Kansas City. He's number one. Number two, Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. There are a lot of times when you see lists assembled of the top quarterbacks in football, and Russell Wilson might be around 4 or 5, and you're like, what are you doing here? Russell Wilson... No matter how much we do not like the Seattle Seahawks, he's one of the more underrated athletes you're going to find in any sport in this country. He's that good. Yet, I think that a lot of what he does gets either marginalized or isn't quite recognized to the level it should be. Do you agree with that?
Right. And also, we should point out that this is a compiled list that he asked more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help put together.
Right.
And it's only for this coming season.
Right.
It's not like who's going to be the best quarterback over the next decade.
Right. Hence, it's not Joe Blogger in his basement seeing who he can tick off with a list of top 10 quarterbacks.
But Russell Wilson, that is about as high as you will ever see him on a list like this.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think that's accurate. So this is kind of why I'm digging this list so far. Number three, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Now, I think it's become, I won't say in vogue to not like Aaron Rodgers, but I think there's been sort of a shift in the way he's perceived in the last couple of years.
Especially off the field and on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Off the field, definitely. And on the field, over the last year and this year, I think the idea that he is the best quarterback has really shifted.
Which, that's fallen.
He's
yep.
another one where I'm surprised he's this high.
Yeah. Okay, so he's at number three now. And what one of the things that the comments to validate this lofty status is the fact that these executives, the people who contributed to this report, Jarrett, they expect a big response from him in light of the Packers selecting Jordan Love with a first-round pick. Okay? They point out this, quote,
I could definitely go one way or the other.
It could. Rodgers was Mahomes before Mahomes with the arm strength and the stories of his football mind are legendary. He can still attack anywhere on the field on split-second reaction plays. I'll tell you this much. If I had a Hail Mary at the end of a football game, he's the guy I want to throw
it. Oh, absolutely. We've lived it.
Yeah, we have. Number four, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans.
And this is for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This is not projecting.
No.
It's right. He's in that range, I'd say. So it's not absurd. Without DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, I think the world of Deshaun Watson because he has got an incredible poise in the pocket, unlike anything I've ever seen in terms of just being comfortable with his feet on the ground, not looking to bail, just eyes downfield. He's got tremendous courage in the pocket. I think it's a little high, possibly, but I do think that he's got all the skills that he needs. How he reacts without DeAndre Hopkins, though, I'm curious about that. Number five, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, he put up great numbers last year. The more interesting thing about him being number five is that we are now going to be out of the top five, and the reigning league MVP has not been mentioned yet.
Yeah. I would not have Drew Brees at number five, but I will recognize that, okay, this is probably going to be his last year in New Orleans, and he's in a system that's perfect for him, loaded with complementary players who can help him. I think he can be very successful. I would not have him at number five. Here's one of the guys who is too low. Number six, Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens.
And this, just to show you the range on what people view him as a quarterback, his highest ranking had him at number two as the second best quarterback in the league, and then his lowest ranking was number 12.
You believe that? Somebody had him at 12?
I don't. Going into last year, maybe, but after you watch what he did last season, I don't know how you could justify that, unless you're just totally biased against, you know, the dual threat quarterbacks.
The idea that he is not going to be able to continue doing what he did last year because he doesn't have the skill or teams are going to figure him out, I think is kind of laughable. But there is a quote in there around this level. Quote, he is who he is, always a threat, but as more teams figure out Baltimore's offense, they won't be caught as off guard. He'll eventually make plays with his arm, but he's not a guy you'd have a lot of confidence in doing it consistently. That's an AFC executive. Interesting. Number seven, Tom Brady.
Way too high.
Way too high.
That's a total based on reputation. Based on reputation, I guess the situation he's in with the talent around him now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not rank him in. Not definitely not ahead of. I don't know. I guess one. They have him that somebody ranked him as number one.
Yeah.
Which is.
That's insane. Quote, I wasn't prepared for what I saw last year, one NFC executive said. It's all anticipation and pre-snap ability now, meaning his arm strength is on that much of a decline. Now, he obviously has got a chip on the shoulder. He's obviously going to be supremely motivated, but that in and of itself, you can't hide that stuff. And I agree with that, too high. Number eight, Carson Wentz, Philadelphia Eagles. Highest ranking, second.
Boy, that is, 'cause he is a guy who the people who like him absolutely love him.
Yep.
But he is so much a guy that it's almost all based on potential. If he plays a full season and he's fully healthy for a full season, which he never is. So you can't really say. I mean, he had that one really, really great season when they went to the Super Bowl, except he didn't
win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nick Foles did.
Right.
He's eclipsed 64% passing only once in four seasons. Okay? I don't know. Quote, he can carry a team. Only a few guys can say that. You're right on the money when you said that some people who love Carson Wentz really love him, and others that don't, myself included, think he's really good. But
that's he's the biggest range between the highest and lowest ranking.
Yeah, number 2 and 14. Good point. Dak Prescott checks in at number 9 from the Dallas Cowboys. His highest ranking was 4. His lowest was 13. He checks a lot of boxes, as the report says, but with the playoff wins, they're not there. The elite quarterback, I don't believe, is there either. So that's kind of high for him. Number 10, does Kyler Murray crack the top 10? No.
No.
Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions clocks in at number 10. His highest ranking was 4, which is way too high for Matthew Stafford. I like Matthew
Stafford.
Wrong
number one pick from a school that wears a shade of red.
Also getting votes, Matt Ryan, 14 of them. Ben Roethlisberger, 8 of them. And then Kyler Murray, 5. So according to this, Kyler Murray would have been 13th.
Pretty good. Top half of the league after 1 year in the league. Very impressive. He is ranked ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo.
He is.
Kirk Cousins.
Yes, he is. Derek Carr, Ryan
Jared
Tannehill. Jared Goff, Sam Darnold.
So it's still pretty good.
Okay, it's still too low in my opinion. I guess it's pretty good if you look at it this way.
If you're looking just for who's going to have the best 2020 season, I don't know how you don't put him ahead of Matthew Stafford.
I don't know how you don't put him, that's a me thing. I put him ahead of Dak Prescott because I think he's a better player.
Right.
But in terms of accomplishments, you couldn't make that argument. Tom Brady, Carson, like the back half of this list, you can keep these guys. I don't know how Ben Roethlisberger isn't in the top 10.
Just because he didn't play last year. Would you put Kyler Murray ahead of Matt Ryan?
I would.
Yeah, I would have him in the top 10 too.
Yeah. The quote they pulled for Kyler Murray, quote, Kyler can take a normal drop, then make instinctual lateral slides in the pocket to get himself into an open throwing lane. That's rare. That's the baseball in him, and his arm talent is ridiculous, said an NFC executive. All right. Okay, we'll take 13. Certainly room for improvement. Interesting list. I think they got the top two guys right on. I think some guys are there on reputation. I think Lamar Jackson is being overlooked. What else is new? And I think Kyler Murray still has got some things to prove to some people.
Yeah, I think the top four, Mahomes number one, and then Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, in some order, or the other top three.
Interesting.
Because I think they've surpassed Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, that generation.
Well, yeah. And
for
again,
the 2020 season, not for their careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's and I think this is what we're talking about. It in the context of one upcoming football season. Fascinating stuff. I'm sure we'll get more lists like this as time goes on.
I'm sure.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show Off the Grid next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly and Murata, song of the day.
All right, why are we playing the Eagles as the song of the day a day after I cut the Eagles on start, sit, cut?
Right.
It's a great question.
And that wasn't against Led Zeppelin and the Beatles.
No, it wasn't.
Against Whitesnake and Def Leppard.
I was actually regretting my choice because I don't know. Have you seen the Eagles live special on ESPN?
No.
All right. You know we're missing sports when ESPN are showing concerts.
Yeah, I was gonna question you if you said the wrong network there. They showed an Eagles concert on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a promotional thing. At the end of it, I thought, oh, that was really cool. And at the end of it, they flash where the Eagles are going to be playing in 2021, and they encourage everybody to get their tickets. They're really good. They're still really tight live. And if you like good soaring harmonies, twangy guitar.
Died,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Glenn Frey.
Yeah. So I watched that last night. It was actually really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you like this kind of music, they're one of the best of all time at it.
Yeah, no, that is definitely true. All right, that is your song of the day, The Eagles. Take it easy. All right, a couple things before we get out of here. Number one, I don't know if you saw DeAndre Hopkins. He tweeted out respect for Patrick Mahomes' contract, but then he took a shot at the Texans in the process.
Yes, that was. Did you like that? I didn't even get it at first. That's how dumb I am.
Okay,
but
what was the exact tweet? It was.
I'll find it.
24 reasons, and that was how many points the Texans were.
Yep.
Yeah. Find it for me, Jared Carlin.
Yeah, so it was 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that. Zero doubts he will win more Super Bowls.
And, of course, he's referring to the Chiefs coming back from 24 down against the Texans.
Against the Texans.
Yeah.
He's not bitter, though.
No, not at all.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Brandel Chambly, golf analyst who is not averse to saying controversial stuff, he said the following, quote, "I would argue that Tiger Woods has gotten the least out of his talent of any player maybe in history." How's that for a hot take, Jarrett?
Well, so this is sort of similar to your take about Shaquille O'Neal, in that he had an unbelievable Hall of Fame career, but he was so once in a generation, once in a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
that he could have done even more. And maybe that's the way he feels about Tiger Woods, is because of all that, you know, he pretty much threw away a decade of his career because of injuries, because of personal problems. So it's not as outrageous as it kind of sounds in a quote.
Part of me wants to agree with it because, again, Tiger, when healthy, never played all that much. And then a lot of what derailed Tiger was self-inflicted, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also the element of injuries, too, that he's had that have slowed him down. I don't know how much you blame him for that. And I don't even know if Brandel Chambly is issuing blame. I think he's saying that this guy had all of this by age 30, and here we are now all this time later, and he still barely has more than that. I don't know.
Right. One thing I wanted to do, we mm-hmm. forgot to do,
mm-hmm.
the Arizona Sports Poll Question, brought to you by Sanderson
okay.
Ford. On the front page of ArizonaSports.com, which league are you most optimistic in terms of getting the full 2020 season finished? I think I asked this in social studies a little while back, but things change every day. Is it MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Which are you most optimistic that will play their complete season as
the NBA?
I agree. Because they're already about to start. NFL is running away with it, 50%. If you would have asked me last week, I would have said NFL. NHL, 21%. NBA, 19%. After all this, only 9% of the fans think the baseball is going to complete what they are set up here.
Yeah. There really isn't a ton of faith in that, is there?
Nope.
No.
And I think by the time it comes back, it's coming back right around the same time as basketball, as hockey and football about to start up, and I think that people won't care that much anyway. We'll see.
All right. Earlier in some of the questions that we posed on social studies, you said there were some great responses to people's poor or bad dining experiences, Jarrett.
Yeah, let me pull up.
See if there were any that really kind of spoke to you.
Anything else stand out for you? Any bad restaurant experiences?
I'm sure I've got more than this, and I've shared this one before. I went to a restaurant that is not that far from where we're at today. And my family's seated, and I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I walked in, and dude walks out of the stall. And dude worked at the restaurant that I was attending, and dude walked right by the wash basin without washing his hands. And he went right from there into the kitchen.
Oh, turns out Poppy is a little sloppy. Looking at all right, so
yeah.
how about this one? This guy, I cooked chicken in the oven. I cooked chicken in the oven.
Okay.
Cooked chicken in the oven. Do I ever make fun of the way you talk?
Sorry. Yeah, you do. Constantly.
That's right. I have a whole library of them. Cooked chicken in the oven, left with my wife to grab something at the store, forgot about the chicken, and when I got back to my apartment, the firefighters were there.
Oh,
and the
boy.
Entire complex smelled like smoke.
Oh, man.
That would suck if you burned down your apartment complex because you forgot about your...
Yeah.
How about... This is not that great. This guy... okay. I was at a restaurant and I was eating pizza. Okay, sounds delicious.
All right.
Went to get a slice, picked it up. All of a sudden, a spider crawled out of the cheese.
In the pizza. How is a spider living inside melted cheese? Is that to say the spider survived a pizza being baked at 450 degrees?
It must have crawled into the pizza somewhere between the assembly and the eating.
Huh. Okay.
In Flagstaff, I witnessed an employee remove onions from my hot-cooked pizza with his fingers once he remembered that I said no onions.
Oh.
First time I used a pressure cooker, the kitchen caught on fire.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people finding cockroaches in their salad, in their food.
Cockroaches are disgusting.
Somebody ordered orange chicken, and they took a bite of it, and they broke their tooth because it was bread covering a bone with no chicken meat inside.
Okay. That's about enough of that.
Yep.
I think that's good for that. All right. Finally, as it pertains to college football, a lot of people now tweeting in off of what the Ivy League did. And the big takeaway is that college football now is going to have to kind of deal with the optics of this, because with the Ivy League, as you said, schools known for having really smart people, right? Schools in a conference that pulled the plug on college basketball, a lot of people thought they were being rash and premature, and they were not. If you continue to insist on playing football when other conferences, other schools are pulling it off the table, you look like you're motivated by greed and money. And they are. Yeah. But so the optics of that, how do you reconcile the optics of that? Do you?
You reconcile the optics of it by saying, do you want football or not, huh?
Well, and again, this is kind of in the NFL, this is what they're doing. A report has come out that the NFL has told its players, you don't have to play. If you don't want to play football, you can opt out. I'm going to be curious to see how many football players do that. Do you think it'll be a lot?
No.
Not unless they mess with the money. But I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you on that.
I feel like just from football players we've had on the show, the Max Starks of the world.
Right.
The Mark Schlereth over and over again tells us that they just need the money. They can't afford to take off a year.
I know. And I'm telling you, I really firmly believe this. The NBA teams are going to get up and practicing, and the NBA is going to feel like they're right there at the starting blocks. Major League Baseball, they're kind of in this hum now. Can they pull this off? Football, I think it's all coming front and center starting now, folks. Can they figure it out, a way to do it safely? Does college football have a chance? Can the NFL pull it off? Great stuff. All right, thanks to Jared Carlin. Thanks to Steve Gilbert. Thanks to Sarah Cazell. I'm Dan Bickley. Burns and Gambo next.